Welcome to The Contemplative Life. Three pastors, friends, and spiritual companions help us explore spirituality through a contemplative lens.
I'm Christina Roberts.
I'm Chris Roberts.
I'm Christina Kaiser. We're glad you joined us.
Hello. It's great to be with you. Today, we're talking about the reverse golden rule. And I imagine that most of us are familiar with the traditional golden rule. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And some folks have come along to adapt the golden rule and talk about doing unto others how they would like done to them. So not imposing our personality or preferences on them, but treating them how they would like to be treated. And all of that is good and helpful. But today I want to take some time to talk about treating yourself with the same kindness and respect that you treat others. Jesus famously said that we are to love our neighbor as ourselves. And usually the emphasis is on loving our neighbor, which I am all for and trying to make a regular habit in my life. And yet, pausing to consider love of self is part of this process, and speaking for myself can be uncomfortable. It can feel selfish or self-centered or watered down. And so as I bring up the idea of the reverse golden rule or loving self, what comes up for the two of you?
I think this is a really difficult one for me because of how, I think like you're saying, how often I slip into, I don't know, what's good for you or something along these lines. And I think of this movie, America's Sweethearts, which I think came out in the 90s. And Julia Roberts is like an assistant to her sister, who's this famous actress. And there comes this point in the movie where Julia Roberts has to figure out what kind of eggs she likes, because the kind of eggs that she has liked has always been whatever somebody else likes. Whatever you like is what I like. And so she's got eggs everywhere and she's tasting all of them to figure out what she really likes. And it's funny, as I have done some work on like brain and stress and trauma, going back to a previous episode that we had talked about, this business of not knowing what you like is a way that we respond out of our trauma. It's just not safe to have preferences, or maybe it's just not possible. Maybe financially, we're not able to accommodate these things. So we don't ask because we would be taking up too much space. We'd be an imposition somehow. But it has been a big deal to ask that question for myself. Yeah, Julia Roberts's character, what do I like and why do I like it? And how do I know that I like it? And what are my preferences? So sometimes I have had to really sit and ask these types of questions.
I like where this conversation is going, because I think that there are, like your point, Christina, very practical outward things even that are a reflection of our ability to love self and to do that reverse golden rule, even just thinking about preferences, or am I treating my body or my emotions with the same type of respect that I would do for somebody else? And certainly there's a degree of hospitality where you want someone to feel comfortable, but at the same time, am I willing to make myself feel comfortable? And if I'm in a comfortable space, I'm going to maybe show up in a little bit more of a pleasant attitude, or the ability to listen, or things like that. And so I think that there's those practical aspects that you're bringing up. Am I feeding myself, et cetera? And also, my mind tends to go initially, when you bring this up, Chris, to the thoughts and sometimes the negative self-talk that can run through our minds, that never in a million years would we vocalize that to somebody else and call out somebody else on something. And yet that quickness to sometimes shame ourselves or berate ourselves or think of a mistake that we're doing and really blow it out of proportion, where if it was somebody else, it was a good friend, we would have so much graciousness towards that other person. And so it does make me wonder, what is it about that reverse golden rule? Chris, you brought up sometimes it feels uncomfortable. It can feel selfish or self-serving. And yet going back to that very famous line that Jesus said, to love neighbor as self, unless there's a degree of understanding the love of self, I think we're limited in our capacity to love neighbor. So it's a very interesting topic to me.
Yeah. Hearing the three of us, what comes to mind is an experience I had with my oldest child a few days ago. And we were driving to pick up a sibling and I was a passenger, which I was fine with because I was tired. And we were listening to a 21 Pilots song. And it's about a stolen car radio. And it's about this individual who the radio was stolen. And so now all they do is sit in silence. They're alone with their thoughts. They're alone with their feelings. And just this tension of hating it. They hate this notion of being by themselves without the distractions. And I think of this because I think to love yourself, you have to know yourself. And I think there's a temptation to always be filling one's life with activity. So then there is not a space to reflect and to know themselves. And I think solitude is so important to knowing yourself, taking time out to hear your thoughts, to hear what is emerging as you're sitting alone, as you're processing life. So that's something that comes up for me, learning what you do like, learning what are things that you feel about life. So that's something that comes up for me as I think about this notion of the reverse golden rule.
Yeah, as we continue to talk, I consider all the ways that this is difficult for me, because I think we mentioned the inner critic, I think, before. Wow, I have a great inner critic. They get an A+ for trying to keep me on the straight and narrow. And it's funny how it comes out. Our kids had solo and ensemble recently, and they were talking through the difficulty of a piece. And I was saying, sometimes that happens and you just practice and eventually like it's just in your fingers and you know it, and it's easier. And their response was, yeah, mom, we know you're perfect. And this is, I think, what exudes out, right? And it exudes out because I think it is true that I have always said, work harder, be ready, be prepared, because it created a sense of felt safety and something that you could control and a way that you could bring others into a predictable environment. And it's really all a result of trauma, but it turns out it hasn't been very loving, because that inner critic, like, oh, how could you get that wrong, is always active and there and trying not to emerge, and emerges far too often for my comfortability level, because people make mistakes, they get things wrong, and it's very difficult for me to live with it. And then it rubs out. I think the rest of the world starts to feel that as well, especially if you live in close proximity to me.
Going back a moment to what you were saying, Chris, about we have to know ourselves to love ourselves and those times of solitude. And I think sometimes when I hear that word, I picture just like being alone, like in a room with your thoughts and that, whatever, like that just sounds miserable. But I think having certain things that we are doing in our solitude has been helpful for me. And this was actually right at the beginning of the pandemic, and recognizing that a lot of my normal comforts were being taken away from me when we were sheltering in place. And so I sat down in solitude just to wrap my head around what this was going to mean to show up for myself and others. And I made like what brings me pleasure and joy list. And it was really helpful. What are the little things in my life that do that? And to have that list to go back to where, yes, I can't do X, Y, and Z. There was maybe 20 things on this list. And I think to your point earlier, Christina, about learning our preferences and knowing that. And I think just the, yeah, I have this unique personality and this thing really, it excites me, or I love this, or I enjoy this, or it gives me the dopamine hit or the oxytocin or whatever. And so I think sometimes in our solitude, for me, having some sort of a little bit of a prompt in that, or something that I can reflect on around this, or noticing, gosh, and my children are often mirrors to me, or people that I work with, or whomever that I'm interacting with, and something comes up and it's, ooh, that response that I had is mirrored back to me in a way that I'm also knowing myself in those uncomfortable spaces. And how do I tend to that and to notice and have compassion on myself of like, I'm compassionately looking at that is pointing to something that needs tending to, and to be okay with that.
Yeah. And I think when I think about loving myself, there's a particular poem from John O'Donohue that I really like. And there's a number of lines, and the poem is about, it's a blessing for one who is exhausted, but there's so much richness to it about loving yourself. And I'll just read a couple lines. It says, "You have traveled too fast over false ground. Now your soul has come to take you back. Take refuge in your senses. Open up to all the small miracles you rushed through. Become inclined to watch the way of rain when it falls slow and free. Imitate the habit of twilight. Take time to open the well of color that fostered the brightness of day." And then it goes on to say, "Stay away from those that are vexed in spirit." And I think that's unkind. And I think whenever you're in a place of exhaustion or you're tired or you haven't been attentive to yourself, it's probably pretty good advice, right? Because then that just drags you down. That drags down every bone is what it says. And so this idea of slowness, of stillness, drawing alongside silence, I think can be so helpful in knowing ourselves and this reverse golden rule.
And I have to say, it's so catching. Once you catch it and you start doing the things that each of you is talking about, ooh, I like this little thing. I want to incorporate it into my life. I want to notice the things that are so lovely around me. It's so contagious. Like, you just want to do so much more of it. The world is fun and so full of goodness and joy. Like, I sometimes run into people now where they're sharing about the ways in which they feel like, oh, I don't have the capacity to do one more day of work, or I just had to take a half day off because I was just so done. And I get it. I feel that to the nines. And now the rhythms that exist in my life have kept me from feeling that way, because I already know when the break is coming. So I know, like, I'm working this much and then this break is coming because I scheduled it. It's very catching, and it has changed so much of my outlook, so that there are these little moments in the day where I get really silly and giddy about, oh, there's that light that we put up because it makes me so happy. And it doesn't get old. I suppose if it did, we would switch it. But it is a really beautiful, wonderful thing once you start incorporating it.
I love the word that you just used, Christina Kaiser, outlook, right? And if you think about the word an outlook, it's a place where one goes to view the landscape, right? You have to actually traverse up stairs or stone or whatever. And it's this journey to look over the horizon, to look at the vista. And I just love that visual image that you offered us.
I think going back to that love your neighbor as yourself, and Chris, your recognition that often the emphasis on the love of a neighbor. And so I think particularly people that are in helps professions and are very inclined towards the love of neighbor and the other, again, just recognizing the challenge of sometimes noticing the self in that. And so this has been a practice even for me recently with, at the end of a weekend or a week or whatever, or even a day, recognizing, okay, how much was their output that was given compared to input that came in, and really becoming aware of that. And the equation is often quite out of balance depending on what's going on. And I think having that practice of taking stock of that, I think then in my relationships with others, we have often talked about emotional bank accounts. Chris and I, for example, in our marriage, when we feel like, okay, there's been a lot more withdrawals than deposits. And so the emotional bank account is running a little bit low, or times when you might overdraft that emotional bank account and have used it in relationship to other people. But I think to self is really important too, of what's the emotional bank account coming in? And if I'm not getting that recognition from others, which this isn't about that, this is about not receiving necessarily, but how in myself am I loving self and doing that, and whatever that means for all of us. And so that's also been a helpful frame for me in this, of, again, taking notice and recognizing things that might be skewed and how to bring that back into a little bit more perspective and balance.
Yeah, I love the mutuality that you're talking about, right? Mutuality of love to yourself and love to those around you, and taking notice, right? That's what we're doing. We're noticing what's full, what's depleted. And so I appreciate this conversation so much today. Now is the part of the podcast where we talk about what we are into. What are we into?
I am one of those people who cannot just sleep with one pillow. I have multiple pillows of different softness and style. And I just recently got a new silk pillowcase that I love. It is just so comfortable and fun, and I love it. So I am into my new silk pillowcase on one particular pillow. And I think I might order another one for my squishier pillow too, but that's what I'm into.
That's exciting. That sounds luxurious and soft and silky smooth. It is seed planting season again. And so we have just continued to be learning things over the last few years. And one of the things we're so excited to try this year is this Three Sisters planting, where there's like you plant the corn in the middle and then you plant beans near the corn so that the beans can crawl up the corn and give nutrients that like the corn depletes from the soil, and then squash around the outsides to keep the soil shaded, which is just so remarkable. I don't know how it's going to go, but we've looked up the models, we've measured the beds, we've gotten all specific, and are looking forward to giving that a shot.
Very fun. Going along with what you're bringing up, Christina Kaiser, what you're into. I have been into raw vegetables. I've been just pretty open to a different diet. I grew up eating just meat and potatoes. That was the run of the mill. But having been married to Christina for 25 years, she's a Greek. She's introduced me to all kinds of fun dishes. But when it comes to like vegetables, usually I take it in the form of a salad and have to have some sort of fun salad dressing, nuts, raisins, craisins, all that. But I've been experimenting with just eating raw vegetables. I've been eating radishes and raw carrots, and I've eaten raw carrots before, but I've just been experimenting with just eating raw vegetables. And what you brought up, Christina, in the past, I've had a little bit of a garden and I've grown a lot of peppers. I really like habanero peppers and jalapeno peppers, but last year it was too much. We had way too many peppers. And so I'm evaluating sugar snap peas. Definitely want to have some sugar snap peas in the garden. And so I'm actually planning ahead. What kind of raw vegetables do I want to grow? Because I'm really into them lately. Thank you for joining us. It was great to have you. See you again next week.
If you enjoy listening to the podcast, we invite you to stay connected by signing up for our Foundry Spiritual Center newsletter, where you can learn about even more programs and offerings. You'll find a link to subscribe in the show notes, or visit us anytime at foundrysc.com. Thanks again for being with us. We hope you have a great week.